snap to Lee. Pressure-free punt. He sends a wobbler to the near side short. Olszewski fields on the run to the 20, 25, 30. 35 cuts across the 40. A sprint to midfield down the middle. One man to beat to the 35, 30. Angling left to the 25. Gets a big block to free him for a touchdown.
What a block.
Patriots. And two flags come down. On the block at the 20-yard line.
Oh, no. It's not on Hall. This is one hell of a block by
Jennings downfield for the Patriots. The rookie linebacker delivering a big block to spring Olszewski.
Personal foul. Blindside block.
Oh, no!
Intercepting team number 58. 15-yard penalty for his fault on the foul. Doing the ball. First down.
So they're going to call it on Jennings.
The guy's chasing him. He turns and looks. It's not a blindside block. It's not even close.
Wow.
Hosed.
Yeah, that one's got a lot of people hot. Gunnar Olszewski's touchdown called back because of a blindside block. That would be the Cumberland Farms smart play of the game. Cumberland Farms Hutterized Coffee, still just 99 cents, any size, every day. You make it like you take it, so your coffee is always just the way you like it. Stop by Cumberland Farms today. Frustrating as that was, didn't cost the Patriots. They end up beating the Arizona Cardinals today 20-17 at Gillette Stadium. Welcome back to the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, now joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. I know it's got a lot of people angry, Greg, but by the letter of the law, they got it right. I saw you tweeting about it, and then, you know, it's like kicking a hornet's nest. Everyone's mad about it. And I get it. Like, you know, you grow up, especially you've been covering the game for a long time. Like, that's an old school football play, but now it's not allowed. So by the letter of the law, I know it sucks. They got it right, correct?
Yes, they did. And I was afraid of this. They changed that rule. I want to say it might have been this past offseason or the offseason before. And I think people, you know, those of us who, you know about the game, when they enacted it, you were just like, man, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's player safety and blah, blah, blah. But it's really going to be hard in the heat of the moment for the players to really be able to play this play correctly. And you saw that. I mean, today was a prime example because the Cardinals player was a threat to take down Olszewski, no doubt. Jennings was very alert. He did a good job. He saw the player, and he came back towards him and, you know, leveled a blow. Now, you know, the NFL, their nerds, whoever come up with these, their competition committee, whoever comes up with these rule changes, they want Jennings to basically get in the way or use his hands, which is what Bill Vinovich, the referee, told Mike Reese when he talked to him as the pool reporter after the game. He said, you know, he basically has to get in his way, shield him, or use his hands. And I think there was another option. I think that Jennings, and people will say, well, he wasn't blocking towards his end line because technically when he contacted him, he was really standing still. But, I mean, we all know, and these guys are officiating the game in the heat of the moment. In the heat of the moment, it looked like he blocked back and basically launched himself. I think if he hit him in the gut, you know, with just a good solid block, I bet you that's not called. But because it appeared that he launched himself and went high when he didn't really need to, and it got a lick on the Cardinals player, that's why it was called.
Yeah, this is something Joe brought up. It felt like, you know, if he maybe didn't make the hit as violent as it looked,
yep,
then they don't call it. You know, so if it was just like a regular old kind of, you know, your basic kind of block, just to maybe, you know, I don't know which, any other way to explain
shield?
It.
Shield?
Yeah, if he didn't blow him up, really, like, then the flags don't come out.
I completely agree. And here's the thing. In this whole game, you know, maybe it's just me. I don't have very much patience for this. Like, I had to turn off Twitter and, you know, because, like, oh my God, the whining in this game, like, nonstop. Like, you know, first of all, yes, this penalty happened, but while you were all mad about the call and tried to figure out ways like this was designed to screw the Patriots, you missed the part where your team had first and goal at the 7-yard line and just sucked on offense and couldn't score a touchdown again. So did this play really cost you 4 points? In my opinion, no. And it was, you know, then people are like, oh, what about the trip? This should have been tripping and this and that. It's like, can we just play football? Like, the Cardinals were victimized just as much. I thought this whole crew was pass happy, flag happy in this game. It added to the layer of ugliness in this game. you know, that was really tough to watch at times. But, you know, in the end, the Patriots were able to endure all this stuff and overcome it and emerge with a victory that I'm actually not really sure how it even happened. But they'll take it.
Greg, for me, I just thought it was Cliff Kingsbury got out coached late in the game there. But I have to ask you about the Cam Newton hit. I've watched it 500 times. Jim and I were in studio watching it live here. He was a runner. He was still in bounds. He did not lead with his helmet. I will die on that hill. I agree with you 1,000% about the Olszewski, that flag. That's the rule. I don't believe it's the rule on the Cam Newton hit. I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, now that one I have not gotten a good look at. I was too worried about the end of the game. I just think in general, look, if it looks like a quarterback's going out of bounds, which Newton was there and probably technically he was still in bounds, just about every quarterback is going to get the benefit of the doubt on that call. And that's another case where, you know, you could still get a hit on a guy without, you know, trying to blow him up. And that, I think, the act of blowing him up, similar to the Jennings call, makes it worse. And you know, maybe if he just sort of, you know, bumps him out of bounds a little bit, it's not called. But look, that was, you know, you could make the argument that that was a gift for the Patriots, because at that point in time, the Patriots were deathly afraid of Cam Newton, and they didn't know what to do. I don't even think at that point they knew how to get the game to overtime, let alone forget about winning the game in regulation. I think they were worried more about getting the game to overtime. And at that point, I was asking on Twitter, if they do go to overtime, if you're Bill Belichick, do you put the offense on the field if you win the toss? Like, I didn't know. I don't know if I would have. And so, but luckily that for the Patriots, that penalty basically gave them the victory where it looked like they weren't really thinking about winning the game there.
Yeah, Joe and I were saying it prior to that flag and that run, the 14-yard run. It's like, oh, they're actually playing for overtime here. That's what it felt like. And then, you know, they got that call and 50 yards.
Just real quick, he was close to the first down there. I don't know if he got it. Maybe the ball was in his left hands, but don't you have to consider that when you throw that flag? Like, he was going out of bounds. He was still in bounds, but, like, he was close to that first down. I thought that was just an actual football play. And, listen, I know we're on the Patriots Radio Network right now, but, like, I just kind of wanted a fair ending there, and I felt like that flag was pretty much the difference of the game.
Yeah, look, Joe, you make a valid point. You know, I just think that, look, we're in an age where we watch football games every week. The NFL goes out of its way to protect its quarterbacks. I mean, you know, we're in an era where if a guy hits him somewhat in the head neck area, it's going to be a flag. And so, yes, he is no longer a quarterback technically in that situation. I agree with you. Like, once he leaves the pocket, treat him like a running back. Like, if they want to run, that's part of the deal. And I agree with you. But I was not surprised by the flag there, but I completely agree with you that I thought Cliff Kingsbury, and this was one of the reasons why I picked the Patriots by four coming into this game, is because I thought the Cardinals largely are an undisciplined mess, and that Kingsbury is one of these young coaches, young offensive coaches that's buried in his offensive play sheet and doesn't know how to manage the game, and I think he completely botched it, especially the turnaround from the end of the first half into the second half. Just he completely screwed up the situation for his team and cost his team a victory.
Greg, it feels like there's not a lot of continuity with that offense. Like, for all the talent that they have there, like, there's times where you don't see Hopkins huddling up with the team, like, and then they're moving fast, then they're not. It just feels like it's real herky-jerky, and there's no fluidity to that offense at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the offensive line is challenged. I think that Kingsbury, the more teams that see Murray in this offense, the easier it becomes to defend. It's not very, despite his offensive sort of genius label, it's not an overly complex offense, and they run a lot of the same routes, and smart defenses can pick up on it. I would say that the Texans were a lot more advanced the week before. And so, that's going to be an interesting situation to watch in Arizona, because we all know how talented Kyler Murray is. I do think that he was not going to run today. It looks similar after he hurt himself against Seattle, where he was not going to run unless he absolutely had to, and I think that helped the Patriots a lot in this game.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, including the hard-hitting question I need to know the answer to, and that's whether or not Greg's going to be wearing an Adam Butler jersey around his house tonight, dancing around like Winnie the Pooh, sans pants, because Butler was a stud today. We'll get more on the defense and the Patriots' win over the Arizona Cardinals today with Greg. 20-17 was the final over the Arizona Cardinals. That's all coming up next in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Two receivers left, two tight ends stacked right. The snap to it and looks down the field, dumps it off for Jacoby Myers, crossing right to the 35.
Nice.
Broke a hit and then was tackled by two Redbirds. A penalty comes down, and this could be on the tackle,
yeah,
with Baker among them. Peterson came over as well for Arizona.
Personal foul. Defense number 48. Lowering the head to initiate contact. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
As we welcome back to the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. It's time for the New England Forward rushing update. Patriots, as a team today, ran for 110 yards on 30 carries. Damian Harris had the most today on 14 carries, 47 yards rushing. And it's all brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, where the Ford Built for the Holiday sales event is kicking off with great deals across the Ford lineup. You can hurry in for the best selection at your New England Ford dealers. All right, Greg, let's talk about the defensive side of the things, for the Patriots today in their 20-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals. Safe to say that Adam Butler was the standout?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, tipped interception, he had a sack, he had another, you know, a couple tackles for a loss. Yeah, I thought he had a tremendous game, and I think that, you know, he's a guy who's sort of gotten lost in the mix because of the Patriots, really their inability to stop the run. They haven't been able to get to their sub packages for a good portion of the season, and I think the Patriots took the tack, you know, especially as the game went on when it was clear that Murray was not going to run as much. The Patriots took a little bit more liberties in terms of what they were going to do with their pass rush. They brought a lot more pressure in this game, certainly what they did, you know, compared to last week against Deshaun Watson. And I think that those are the type of games where, you know, Adam Butler really plays to his strengths. So I thought he did a tremendous job today.
I've been hard on Juwan Bentley. I think we all have. Played very well, led the team in tackles today. I've been high on Terrence Hall over the last couple of weeks. Both of them did very well today. And I just want to credit the linebacking core. They did good against the run, but they also kept Kyler Murray home. I know you mentioned that, you know, really wasn't running as much as he has in the past, but it was good to see Winovich get a pass rush but also hold his lane. And Josh Uche also got some action today as well.
Yeah, I thought the front seven did a much better job today, and you can find evidence of that in terms of the top three tacklers for the team today were in the front seven, where for much of this season, I mean, I didn't go back and look at every game, but it seems like every game it's been like three or four defensive backs, which just tells you how bad they've been up front against the run, against passing offenses, against everything. I mean, if your defensive backs are leading your team in tackling, you have problems with your defense, and that was the case for a long time. Today it was, you know, Bentley, Hall, Winovich were all in the top three with tackles. That's a really good sign for this group. And I thought, look, I think the Patriots have benefited. Well, it's hard to say benefited because that Texans game sure left a mark in terms of where this team would be right now. They'd be winners of four straight. With the Chargers coming in, they'd already be at the 500 mark. It'd be a lot different season that we'd be talking about. But I thought the 49ers game, the struggles that they went through defensively, set them up for which game was it? Oh, the Ravens game. I thought the way the 49ers exposed the Patriots, their edges, what Kyle Shanahan did really woke up Bill Belichick and the defensive staff and said, well, we need to take care of that. Or else the Ravens are going to do that. They did that. That got them the Ravens win. And I think that their struggles against Deshaun Watson and the Texans last week set the course for them to sort of contain the Cardinals today. So a couple of tough losses, but you know, they helped him get a couple of victories.
More coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You want to get on with Greg, 617-779-0985 is the phone number, as the Patriots are now 5-6 after today's 20-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals. Joe Murray is going to get you caught up here. The headlines, the latest going on with the 4 o'clock games, and then back with Greg here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. But first, let's pause 10 seconds here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Third down and 16 from the 25. Short motion by Burt from the right. He takes the screen, runs straight ahead inside the numbers at the 30 and crossed the 35. Broke the tackle by Peterson and dove across the 40 with a first down dive against his former team. Eventually covering up Banjo in the secondary. But again, Demir Burt on the screen play runs it for a first down.
It's a great play by Burt.
That's part of your Bay Coast Bank Catch Recap. Bay Coast Bank and N'Keal Harry, they've teamed up for Catches for College to create college scholarships for youth in their community. New England's offense had 9 catches today, so Bay Coast Bank donating $450 towards college scholarships. And they've now donated $10,350 so far this season. Bay Coast Bank, do what's just right. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Patriots, 20-17 winners over the Arizona Cardinals today. Reading a couple of tweets here from Mike Reese of ESPN Boston, Greg. Patriots won today despite having only 3 players catch a pass and only 2 finish with more than 1 receiving yard. That'd be James White, who had minus 1 yard. This is all according to Elias Sports. It's the first time the Patriots had 3 players or fewer with a catch since October 30th, 1988, against Chicago in a 30-7 win. N'Keal Harry is certainly not helping things. Just feels like at this point he is... He's a detriment to this Patriots offense and is a flag waiting to happen. How do they get this kid right? Or is it just starting to trend towards it might be too late?
I don't know, Jim. I really don't. I mean, every week it's a bad penalty. Today was I think he sort of had the trifecta, at least, of a bad penalty, a drop, and a terrible run block that lost about 7 yards on a key second down play that got them behind the sticks and they had to punt. Where if he just seals his edge, they probably get some decent yardage out of the run. I just don't know at this point. I think it's over for him. I don't know how it gets better. I mean, look, he's not exceptionally fast. He doesn't have exceptional hands. He doesn't have exceptional downfield ability. Sometimes he throws a nice block here and there, and that's fine and all, but. You know, they drafted him to be a number one receiver, and he's far from that. And I think if the Patriots had other options, they would look at those. Right now, they don't. But I don't think he has much of a future here.
Does Dante Moncrief's not another option out there as a third receiver?
He got here so late. I mean, you know, he'll be a guy that they throw onto the field, you know, as the third or fourth guy, but. I don't have any, great hope for him. And I do know, the one thing I will say for N'Keal is that, what was Johnson calling him?
K'Neil.
Like K'Neil?
Yeah, K'Neil.
Cam's a guy who's been in this corner, who's been a champion of his. Now, my thoughts at this point on Cam Newton are probably their own separate segment on this show, but I think that does mean something still in that building.
Greg, just in terms of ugly wins, I mean, look, it was ugly, but it is still a win. Does this now help clear the path? Are you now back on the path for the Patriots and getting into the playoffs?
I haven't quit the path. I've been here because I think there's a lot of teams that can backslide, and I do think that the schedule, sets up for them. I think, the Chargers game, that better be a victory for them. The Rams game, and the Rams are struggling right now. I think Jared Goff is getting outplayed by Nicky Mullins and the injury and COVID-ravaged 49ers. The Dolphins and Bills will be tough games, but I still think the Patriots can win out. My preseason path for them to 10-6 with a 6-game winning streak to finish the year is still there, so I'm not quitting it. But right now I'm more interested in the path to 500. Can they finally get back to 500? I think that's what we're all waiting to see next week.
Brian in East Providence is next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. I'm on a question for Greg Bedard. I know he's a big fan of Adrian Phillips. I am, too. Like, I feel like this is an underrated signing this year. He's been so good for them this year. He plays Patrick Chung's role. I want to hear your thoughts on Adrian Phillips.
Yeah, it's a good point. I do think that I think he's been a good player for them. I really wonder how much better he could have been here if, A, they had any linebackers, so he didn't have to fill that role as often and take a beating. And we saw him sort of get nicked up a little bit today. I think he came back into the game, though. And also, if they had a little bit more time to toy with what they were going to do with the safety position. I think we have seen them go to a route in the past couple games where now Jason McCourty, basically he's been taking off a lot of his cornerback responsibilities. The Patriots have finally, thank goodness, given in and said, all right, J.C. Jackson is the second starter there. And so they're looking for things to give Jason McCourty for whatever reason, because I think they have a McCourty playing time quota that they have to meet. So he is now in the Daron Harmon role as the deep safety, and that's allowing Devin to do a few more things, go back to his robber role on third down, where he's usually a little bit more effective. But right now they're trying to piece it together. I think Phillips has been really good. The more film I watched of him after they signed him, the more I was impressed. And I thought he was going to be a really good fit here. It's taken a while, but that's kind of finally coming to fruition.
You know what I'm going to ask you real quick in terms of the defense too today? In Bill Belichick's post game, he mentioned that Steve Belichick, his son, was calling the plays. I don't ever recall him openly admitting that. I think we've all speculated and felt like that was happening, but is that the first time you ever remember him saying that out loud?
Yes. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. You know, obviously some of us, and I'll include myself in this, were very critical of the defense last week, and I thought rightfully so. And I didn't really point the finger at Steve because and maybe Bill, you know, wants it out there that he has a little bit more of a bigger role. I've always put it on Bill because at least, you know, I know last year and basically since Matt Patricia left, Bill's been running the defense, and he basically, you know, designs it and sets it up for Steve and Gerard to call it on game day. And maybe that's changed. Maybe they've given Steve a little bit more responsibility. Maybe Bill didn't like some of the criticism that he was getting about the defense last week, and maybe he thinks it should go to his son. But also, you know, now Matt Patricia is available, and so there will be a lot of people to push for Patricia to come back. And since there is no defensive coordinator, that he could sort of slide back in and at least be a consultant or something like that. So, yeah, I did think that was interesting.
Hey, Greg, I just want to ask you, like, the pass now brought back up. Cam Newton's now going to be the quarterback for a few more weeks. Like, let's just hypothetically say they lose today. Like, does anything change? And now they're going to go on the West Coast, right? And I want to ask you about that. Are they going to stay out in California during this trip? Can they do that? And do we see anything changing, or are they going to build off what happened today?
It's a good question, Joe. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if the rule was officially enacted where they, and I don't know if it's a hard and fast rule or if it's more of a request from the NFL, but there was, right before the season, there was a push that any teams that were going to stay anywhere for games, like the Patriots are going to L.A. for the Chargers and the Rams. Rams are Thursday night game. I think that might make it different. I mean, that would be really tough to ask the Patriots. Like, it's one thing to make them come back and go back to the West Coast if they're playing back-to-back Sundays. But for a Sunday and a Thursday game, I think they'll probably let them stay out there. I don't know if they've made that a rule yet. You know, as far as Cam, I'm going to watch a little bit more the TV copy after we're done here, but right now I'm leaning towards writing a column where I'm out on Cam, that he lost me today, and I thought that the Patriots were lucky to survive. And look, if they're not going to get anything out of the quarterback position, I know Bill said, well, he threw for 350 last week. I mean, that's great and all, but it wasn't good enough last week. And today was barely good enough, where you're basically avoiding your quarterback. And if that's going to happen, I think they should look at Jarrett Stidham. And now that these games do mean something, you know, I give him a look. Now, that's if the guy's doing anything in practice. I mean, if he's terrible in practice, then don't put him out there. But if he's a viable candidate, I don't see how he can do any worse than what Cam did today.
Yeah, I co-sign on that. I mean, I've been out on him for a while today, Greg, but he was brutal, absolutely brutal
yes.
today. But it's still a win. Patriots come out of it with a win, 20-17 over the Arizona Cardinals. And if you want to get on with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, still got another segment to go at 617-779-0985. You want to join us here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Get it out there, Jim. We'll be back after this here on the Safety Insurance. 98.5 of Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
And now the Pats on 4th-and-2 keep the offense on the field. Harry and Meyer split to the left, Bird to the right. White the single back for the Patriots with Newton in under center. He takes the snap. He's going to pitch it to the right. An option pitch for James White. Gets across the 5. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! His first touchdown of the season.
Good call.
Time for the Stop and Shop 5 Yards update. Stop and Shop and the wing. The running back, Sony Michel, have teamed up for 5 Yards for Families. For every 5 yards rushing, Stop and Shop donating 5 bags of groceries for hungry families. Knowing them has rushed for 1,646 yards this season. So Stop and Shop donating 1,646 bags of groceries, up to 2,500 bags. Good stuff there from the fine people of Stop and Shop. It is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. As the Patriots defeat the Arizona Cardinals 20-17 today, they're now 5-6. And so now they're going to head out to L.A. to be to taking on the Rams and Chargers. You know, like, if this team is going to make a playoff push and people want to believe in hashtag the path, Greg, I still feel like looking at this schedule and the Houston thing, that loss last week, I think is really what it really would shake the confidence. I think of even the most like confident Patriots fan. I don't know if you can look at any of these games left on this schedule, maybe outside of the Jets, and say, oh, well, that's a win, you know, just based on how they played in Houston. I think they're just so up and down. You can't trust them to be consistent week in, week out.
Oh, no question. I mean, they aren't a given against anybody. I mean, they struggled against the Jets, for crying out loud. You know, and it had to go down and, you know, another one score game against the Jets. I mean, every game is going to be one score, and whether they're going to pull it out or not, I have no idea. I mean, you know, if that call against Simmons doesn't happen, and I'm just, you know, looking back, and I guess, you know, like Mike Pereira said, it was not a foul, which, you know, I would have been fine with it either way. I understand why they flagged, especially this officiating crew, which apparently does not like football being played or hard hits. So they just throw flags when that happens. But who knows what would have happened today without that Simmons penalty being called. And so, yeah, they are not a given against anybody, especially with the quarterback play that they're getting right now. I thought Cam was on an upward swing. I'm sure internally they would make, and I do think he was on an upward swing. I thought, you know, largely over the past 3 or 4 games, he's played pretty well within what they were doing with the scheme. And maybe internally they will explain this away as just a bad game for him. But, you know, I think that's pretty dangerous. And I'm done with the Cam Newton train right now. Like, I can't. Today was just brutal. They couldn't do anything offensively. And you can't play in the National Football like that. You just can't.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And just, I wanted to stick to the running game quickly. Harris obviously only got the 11 carries last week, did run pretty well today. We did get a Sony Michel sighting today as well,
yeah.
the one snap that he was a decoy in. And then James White, I just want to give him credit. You know, he's been in and out weeks, but 2 touchdowns today, a couple plays to the outside. Just to, at least wanted to credit the running game for getting those 2 touchdowns today.
Yeah, I thought the running game after a really rough start in this game was productive. And I thought, you know, the body blows of the Patriots, you know, they might not show up and you might be like, you know, what the hell are they doing? Why are we running the ball? You know, those add up and you're hoping that they're going to pay off in the second half. I thought they did. I thought, you know, you saw more really hard running for Damian Harris. You know, James White was more like himself in this game, giving them something on the perimeter with a couple of really big plays. And certainly the way Cam Newton was playing today, all of those running yards were vital, and you know Cam got involved, and I think they take the tack with Cam where it's we'll sort of keep him in reserve until we absolutely need it, and there's no tomorrow for this team. Like, they can't wait anymore.
Sam in the car, you're next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. Great show. I do have to comment on the fact that the Pats would ever consider bringing Patricia back. That guy, I don't care. That guy is terrible as a coordinator, and I hope to heck they never bring that guy back, because if they do, I probably stop watching the team. They're just terrible.
Oh, that's a guy that really hates Matt Patricia there, Greg. But do you feel like that there actually could be some reality behind this, that Matt Patricia, who's now out of a job in Detroit, could be back here in some way, shape, or form?
I could see Matt taking sort of the rest of the season off. You know, I'm sure he was under a lot of stress there, and, you know, the Lions are paying him till, I think, through 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, that's always a good bargain that the Crafts will be interested in, that they can deal with the offset language and that, and sort of bring him aboard, do the Brett Bielema thing, which now has gotten Bill Belichick dragged into court,
right,
with the lawsuit from Arkansas, because they brought Bielema in and basically named him like a consultant. And so Arkansas had to pay his full boat. Now they're ticked off. The same thing could happen with Patricia. I understand Sam's sentiment. I'm not the biggest Patricia fan either. And I think he was a bit overrated as a defensive coordinator here. But I do think that – I think that Belichick is extremely close with Patricia. I think that Belichick's significant other, Linda, is very close with Matt's wife. It seems like a natural fit and a good place for him to probably, you know, stay here for the rest of his coaching career. So I would – unfortunately for Sam – I would not be surprised if that happens at some point before next season.
Greg, give me some thoughts on what's been going on throughout the league. You have another positive test with the Ravens today. Wide receiver Willie Snead testing positive for COVID. 8 straight days now of at least one positive test for Baltimore. You have what's going on between Denver and New Orleans today, where Denver it literally didn't have X because of one positive test and close contacts. Are we looking at a week 18 and some changes coming for the league here?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Jim. Just because, I mean, you know, as usual, the NFL just makes crap up as we go along. I mean, you know, who knows? They're making the, you know, the Ravens and the Steelers, I guess, as of right now, play Tuesday night. I mean, with more and more tests, I mean, you just wonder how that's even possible. I mean, if it's not clear to everybody, the NFL has no interest in competitive fairness, that all they are after right at this point right now is, since they're in the middle of television negotiations for the next contracts, they're only interested, their priority is making sure that their broadcast partners are satisfied, that they have a product to broadcast. And so I wish I could tell you what's going to happen. I have no idea. You know, it would be nice if they added a week 18 and sort of left that open for games that need to be played, but we'll have to see.
Hey, the Patriots, the NFL threw out some fines today, and the Patriots were one of them. Do you know what they broke and why they were fined for these COVID protocols?
I have not looked into that, but obviously they violated some of the protocol rules, and yeah, that was a pretty hefty fine, and they're doing it with all the teams. I mean, at least they didn't get docked a draft pick, like I forget who the other team was that they announced, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure it wasn't for no reason, so I'm not exactly sure the specifics.
Can you give me like 30 seconds on the Chargers next Sunday, 4:25 kickoff? They'll be in that beautiful new stadium, obviously no people there in LA, but they're a team that seemingly is in games week in, week out, Greg, but they sure know how to lose them late.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that Justin Herbert, he's way better than I thought he was going to be. And it's just, to me, it's more of an indictment over the Oregon passing offense than anything else, that he didn't look that good at Oregon compared to what he is now. But that kid is just, he's sensational. He looks to be the second best quarterback, at least in this draft class, you know, ahead of Tua, certainly. And he's going to be a handful, but that plays to the Patriots' strengths. They're having injury issues at running back, so that's going to be a challenge. Their offense is not good. Their offensive line is not good. And Anthony Lynn just he does not have a grasp of game situations. And this team is very similar to the Cardinals in that regard. And so this is another matchup that should favor the Patriots if they can get any production out of the quarterback position.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Read his Patriots coverage there. And catch him Tuesday on Felger and Maz at 2 o'clock for a Big Boy Tuesday. We'll talk to you then, Greg.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, again, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Patriots 20-17 winners over the Arizona Cardinals today, now 5-6 on the season. We'll give you a recap of today's ugly win, but a win is a win. Coming up after the headlines here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.